Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Schuller, and this is the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls.
Yep, good morning, and welcome to our Sunday morning church. I'm Donna Schuller, and like he already said, this is Robert Schuller. And we've been doing this many, many years in various different ways, and we're glad to come to you live on several different platforms, and we'd love for you to watch on our website, drschuller.com. org. That is the best place to watch. But if you're on any of the other social media platforms, we're so glad to have you. And you're in for a treat today because, you know, we try to give you some inspiration and hope for the future. There's so much negativity out there. But you know what? There's good news. The good news is that God is in charge. Jesus Christ saves. And that's our message.
And the Holy Spirit empowers.
Yes. Exactly.
Let's get the full Trinity
in there.
Might as
well get the full one.
And,
thank you.
So anyway, let us come before God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can come and we can worship you. You alone are our God. And it is to you that we come in faith and in understanding, realizing that with you we can do all things. So lead us, guide us, protect us, strengthen us, fulfill us, and give us the peace that passes all understanding. We love you, Lord. We praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. It's really interesting today. Our set is so dark. It looks like you have flames coming out of your ear. Maybe we should turn that off.
Isn't it funny?
What is the deal? We still have the flames on
because we're in Southern California, in Newport Beach, California. And it is still cold here, meaning it doesn't get above 70. It's in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, way below 70. Yeah. I'm happy for 70.
I think yesterday it got to a high of 69, and today I think it's expected to be a high of 70. And so for us to have the fireplace on is not that weird.
No, I didn't think it was weird. I just think it's weird that nothing else back here is showing, and typically it does.
It's dark. I agree. It's dark.
So odd. You just never know what's going to happen with this technology.
You know, in video, they always say lighting is the most difficult part. And I have to agree. No matter what I do, it always comes out different, a little weird, whatever.
The older you get, the harder it is.
Yeah, to get the right lighting. Yeah. Yeah. My daughter says to me, "Hey, Dad, you got to put makeup before you go on there." I'm going, "No, that's okay. Your mother can put the makeup on." And
not on him, on me.
Yeah, exactly.
But he doesn't wear makeup. He won't wear it, but that's okay.
He's a
manly man. What can you say?
What you see is what you get. And if there's a few blotches.
No.
I don't think anyone cares.
No blotches. No, this
I
is not about that.
Anyone cares.
This is not about that.
Precisely.
It's so funny. It made me think I would have bought it, but it's a $20 magazine at the checkout at the grocery store. It's the
$20
magazine. Wait to hear this. Yes, it's the Harvard Business School Review. I believe that's what it's called. But what caught my eye wasn't that. What caught my eye is it's the front, you know, the cover was on the imposter syndrome, how to overcome the imposter syndrome. Of course, I always like to get home and then try to look it up online for free. But I was like, I need to read that. That sounds like such an interesting study. I love studying psychology and especially sociology. But what we were talking about just a minute ago is, I mean, it made me think of the fact that, oh, the imposter syndrome, you know, with social media and all, people put their perfect selves forward. They never have a blemish. They never have a hair out of place. It's just very interesting. So I'm thinking it might be about that because we live in a society where.
And then you also have the other way where people don't care and their hair, they'll just get out of bed and hop in front of a camera and it's all askew.
I mean, maybe they make a comparison. I don't know. But I just know the imposter syndrome is where people try to be perfect.
Uh-huh.
They don't reveal their true self. You know, one of the things I love about the way we do ministry at this age, without a huge, you know, group of people, we do have a board, but without a huge board of directors telling us what to do, how to say it, managing us, that we can just say whatever comes to mind through God, through the Holy Spirit, and be real. And we're not embarrassed to be real. We're not embarrassed to say, hey, we've got issues just like everybody else. We raised a family of 4 children. We now have 9 grandchildren. Stuff happens. You know, we've been married 39 years, and nothing is perfect. Nothing is we live in a flesh and blood world, and yes, we praise and worship Jesus, but we all have issues in life. So if you ever want to write to us and ask us about anything, please do. Donna@SchulerMinistries.org or Robert@SchulerMinistries.org, and we are open books.
So one of the things I am so excited about this week is Donna's book is available on Amazon. It has been selling like hotcakes. It's going to be a bestseller.
Oh, I hope so. For sure. On some list.
It's definitely going to be a bestseller. It's called Fearless Women, Transform Negative Emotions into Positive Realities. Mm-hmm. And the responses and the feedback you've been getting has been phenomenal. And so get your copy, go to Amazon.com and order Fearless Women by Donna Schuler. And get your copy today before it's too late.
And 100% of the money goes straight into this ministry right away. We don't see a dime. I love it. That's the good news about Amazon. They do all the bookkeeping. They do all of that. And every 30 days, they make a deposit directly into the Robert Schuler Ministry. So you'll know that you're supporting our efforts here if you buy my book. Plus, you need to buy the book for a woman, that if you're not a woman, for a woman you love or care about, because there's 40 short stories that will help empower women to always choose faith over fear, no matter what the situation. It doesn't matter if you're raising children, if your children are grown, if you're having problems at work, if you have certain fears you've carried with you since youth. We all have that, you know, so it's all about, it's a 40-day journey to get through whatever you're going through and to become a more fearless woman.
So I would encourage you to read it just one chapter at a time. Get up in the morning or before you go to bed and just read that one chapter. The morning is good because then you have all day to reflect upon it.
Exactly.
And then at night before you go to bed, look over the story real quick and fill out the application after you've had time to reflect on
application.
It. The how to apply the story at the end.
There's a prayer, a short prayer, like 2-3 sentence, and then there's a ponder.
Ponder.
It's called ponder.
Sorry.
I know, I didn't know what you're talking about. I'm like, they're going to think they have to sign up and do an application? Yeah, we're going to have a job interview before you read
now,
the book.
How do you apply this to your life?
Yeah, I got it. Your life's application is what you meant. Yes. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But yeah, there's a ponder section. So 2 or 3 questions to help you process what you've just read, to help you be honest with yourself and God and to sort of, you know, work through stuff. I did find.
And if you do that for 40 days and you're not satisfied, if you don't think it's made a positive impact in your life, if you can't handle your emotions any better after the 40 days than you could before, let us know. We'll give you your money back.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Ministry will issue you a check or however you want it.
We'll give it back.
If you don't like the book, money back guarantee. That's good.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's good.
100%.
Absolutely.
So, again, this is the book, Fearless Women. And that's not Donna.
That's my niece.
That's her niece.
People say we look alike.
Transform negative emotions into positive realities. Mm-hmm. So, Donna, I'm going to let you read the scripture, and then
I'll be back. Are you going to leave for a while? Mm-hmm. Okay. Our scripture reading today is from, look, the background lit up. So you're blocking something. There's our normal background. It's we have a cross and a candle back there and an orchid. And yeah, now I see the fire. So anyway, it's all you. You block the light. So here, this morning's reading is from the Old Testament, Exodus 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang his song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In your greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew them with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountains of your inheritance. The place, Lord, you made for your dwelling. The sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you brought the Israelites across that wet Red Sea. When all odds were against them, Lord, you saved them and you destroyed their enemy. Lord, today we have people that we feel like people are chasing us down, some of us. We feel like some days there's no hope. Lord, we feel like our enemies are just about to trample us, to take over. But Lord, they're not. They're not. We serve you, Lord. You're a great God. You're a powerful God. And you have control over all things. Lord, we thank you right now. You are hurling negativity and evil into the depths of the sea. We thank you that these things are sinking like stones, like iron. They're sinking to the bottom of the sea. Lord, thank you for protecting us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for inspiring us. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So we have a, what would you like me to talk about?
The offering.
Yes, I was going to do that. We are a church service. This is what we do. We have another one in person at 10 a.m. here in Newport Beach. If you live anywhere in Southern California, you can get to Newport Beach by 10 a.m. because there's no traffic on Sunday morning, at least this early, later in the afternoon maybe. But we do this. We have a couple of other services. We have a podcast. We have all kinds of things. But we cannot do this without your support, without your financial help. So if you'd like to make a donation to this church, please go to our website, drschuler.org. There's a little button that you'll see. It says, I'd like to give. And if you feel called to give something, please do. If you don't give to this church, please give to another church. Everything we do is always free. We don't twist anybody's arm to give. And there's lots of you that already give to us. And we want you to know we appreciate you. We need you as partners in this ministry. There's a lot of work to do. And we're doing it with your help. So if you'd like to give, again, go to drschuler.org. And there's a button that says, I'd like to give. If you scroll to the bottom of that homepage, drschuler.org, you'll see our mailing address if you choose to mail a check. And it's Robert Schuler Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Again, if you need that address, scroll to the bottom of our webpage, which is drschuler.org or robertschulerministries.org, if that's easier to remember. One other way, we still have Venmo. Venmo is Robert Schuler Ministries. So thank you so much for what you feel called to give. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Donna. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if there's anything else you wanted to say. Otherwise, I'm
going to. We're going to the Holy Land June 20th through 28th. And we just had one more person sign up. We have about two or three spots because of cancellations, because of health reasons. Older people, older than us, that canceled because of severe health problems. And this is the warning. You need to go to the Holy Land when you're able to walk and do things that maybe you
want to go when you're young.
Yeah, as young.
You don't want to wait until you're too old. We do have one person who's going with us who's in her 90s.
She just had surgery and she's going.
I know.
And she's fit.
Yeah.
So anyway, but let us know if you want to go to the Holy Land. Donna@SchulerMinistries.org or Robert@SchulerMinistries.org and say, I want to go to the Holy Land. We'll shoot you off a digital brochure. Our travel agent will get you there from wherever you live. We have people coming from all over the nation and we have a great trip. It's under 20 people, so it's going to be intimate. We're going to have lots of time in the holy sites, lots of time with the guides, and lots of room on the motor coach. So there you go.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Donna. You're welcome. So where do I start? I've been wrestling with where to start in this whole process. Because my sermon is really taking one verse out of the passage that Donna read today. Because Moses and the Israelites sang this song of praise to the Lord in Exodus 15. And in Exodus 15, these words are spoken, which are then repeated throughout the scriptures. We see it in Psalms, we see it in Leviticus, we see it in Isaiah, we see it in Revelations. And here's the focus that I want to put my message on today. It is verse 11. It says, who among the gods is like you, Lord? Awesome in glory, working wonders, majestic in holiness. That's what I want to focus on today. Who among the gods is like you? And when you look at gods, it is El. The Hebrew word is El, the gods. Who among the gods is like you, Lord, Elohim? El versus Elohim. And God had just taken on the gods of Egypt. And he had, through the plagues, he took them all down one after another until he finally takes out Pharaoh himself, who is the god of all gods. He is the Zeus of the gods. You know, I studied ancient civilization, was my major in college. And as a result, I studied Babylonian history, Greek history, Roman history, basically from an Egyptian history. And I studied all that, and that was my major in college. It was a perfect introduction to seminary, because in seminary, then I focused on the Bible and on all of that, while in college, I focused on the culture that surrounded the Bible from the Egyptians and the occupation that took place by the Israelites in Egypt and then again in Babylon and throughout the Roman Empire. So it's given me a tremendous opportunity to translate and look at and understand how the Bible works, what Jesus is doing in the Holy Land, and what God did with the Israelites as he brought them out of Egypt. So this song of praise that Donna read for us earlier, which takes place in Exodus 15, if you can pull it out, you can read it. It's in your Bible. I took out some of the verses only so that it would flow a little bit easier and we didn't have that much time, as it is a long passage to read orally out loud. But here in this passage, the first thing that happens is, who do we compare Yahweh to as far as gods are concerned? And again, I studied those gods. And what you discover right away from these other gods is that they are not holy. The first thing that they put on their list as far as praising God is concerned in Exodus 15 is, who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? And when you look at all the other gods of the ancient world, none of them were anywhere close to being holy. None of them. They were immoral. They had no morality whatsoever. They all had sex with each other, with their children, with other humans, and they created other gods as a result of that. So like in Greek mythology, you ask, how many gods are there? There's hundreds. In fact, they don't even list half of the demigods. Demigods would be one of the famous ones would be Hercules, of course. Hercules was his father was Zeus and his mother was human. So he was, as a result of that, he's considered a demigod. And that's what gave him these superpowers and this super endurance. But that's the way the gods were. No holiness whatsoever. That is why when God gives us the Ten Commandments, he is very specific. The first four commandments of the Ten Commandments all deal with our relationship with God. The first one is, you will have no other gods besides me. He is a jealous God, he says. I will not allow you to worship other gods besides me. I am the only God you will worship. And yet today, as soon as we turn our back on Yahweh, other Els, because Elohim is the reference to God himself, El is all other gods, suddenly all these Els start to rise. As soon as we turn our back on God, what happens? We start developing other gods. That's why we have what I call the pantheon of scientism. The woke religion is basically a pantheon of scientism. What does that mean? Well, first of all, let me explain what scientism is. I discovered this in 2019, and it is relevant for us today. And in an essay by Martin Ryder in the Encyclopedia of Science, Technology, and Ethics, which came out in 1951. So put this in historical perspective, 1951. Ryder pinpoints the dangers of scientism when it's carried to its most ruthless logical conclusion. Now I'm going to quote Ryder. A scientistic culture privileges scientific knowledge over all other ways of knowing. It uses jargon, technical language, and technical evidence in public debate as a means to exclude the laity from participation in policy formation. Despite its obvious transgressions of democracy, common citizens yield to the dictates of scientism without a fight. The norms of science abound in popular culture, and the naturalized authority of scientific reasoning can lead, if left unchecked, to a malignancy of cultural norms. The most notorious example of this was seen in Nazi Germany, where a noxious combination of scientism and utopianism led to the eugenic excesses of the Third Reich. That's scientism. Scientism is a religion today. It is the religion of the woke. And the woke have a pantheon of gods. Their pantheons of gods aren't named Zeus and Helena and the other Greek names, nor are they the names of the Egyptian gods or the Roman gods. They have their own names. Here are some of the gods of the woke and their pantheon of scientism that I have discovered. The first one is dataism. They worship data. It is the worship of information. If it's available to them, it's part of their worship. Then you have transhumanism, gender identity, eugenics, individualism, communism, environmentalism, racism, secularity, and one of the more recent ones is the central bank digital currency, all of which folds into an overriding umbrella of scientism, where science is God, and the demigods of science are these things. I'm in the process of writing on all of this. I'm in the process of developing a book, which will explain this in greater detail because it's complicated and needs explanation. But the gods are real. We are human. And as human beings, we need gods. We look to God. And there is one God, Yahweh, Elohim, that we are to look at. That's what God says. And he tears down all the other gods. That's why we know when we look at what's going on in the world today, we know that God wins, that God will be victorious, that God will succeed because he always has. Go back to Egypt and the plagues where he tore down the gods of Egypt. We see it taking place as he goes and takes the people into the promised land. We've seen it throughout history as he takes down the kings and empires. We see it as he continues to create freedom for those who trust and believe in the living God. Why? Because the God we worship, what makes him so unique is he is holy. Our scripture passage says it very beautifully. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness. That's what God is. He is holy. And what does holy mean? It means he is without sin. He hates sin. He loves the sinner. That means he loves you. That means he loves me. Thank you, Lord, that you love the sinner, because without his love, we would all be doomed. But God loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. So what God does is he provides a way of escape. We've seen it throughout the Bible. In Genesis, God took an animal, he skinned it, and he clothed Adam and Eve. We see it in the Exodus. He commanded the Israelites to take an animal, sacrifice the animal, and those of faith put the blood over the doorposts of their homes. So when the angel of death came, it passed over. We see it in the atoning grace of Jesus Christ. As Christ died on the cross, he gave his life to clothe us with his righteousness so that our sin will be paid for and we will become holy in the sight of God. Pardon. Our debt paid. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner so much. He loves you so much. He loves me so much that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because as this passage tells us, you, who is like you, O Lord, majestic in holiness. You know, the word majestic can be translated in different ways. The translation I'm using is the New International Version, and in the New King James Version, or the King James Version, which is what a lot of people are familiar with. In fact, I memorized many things in the King James Version. For instance, I've memorized the Ten Commandments in the King James Version. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make a graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You shall honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Again, memorized in the King James Version. The King James Version of this verse says not majestic in holiness, but it says glorious in holiness. So it gives a different understanding, a different perspective, and you can read all of the different words and translations, but what it is it's we're giving glory to God. We're recognizing his majesty. We're recognizing the fact that he alone is holy. And it reminds us of the words of Isaiah where he says, holy, holy, holy. I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah The angel Isaiah has this vision, and he hears the angel singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled of his glory." The gloriness of God. And then in Revelation, St. John receives another vision. He hears the angels singing. In fact, I'm going to read the whole passage. It says, "They held harps given them by God and sang the songs of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. And they said, 'Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.'" God is holy. When we come and we worship God, we need to first and foremost recognize that he alone is God. All these other elves, all these other fake gods, all these other demigods, all these other things that take our attention away from the one true God, Elohim, is what prevents us from finding the fullness of life, of receiving the grace of Jesus Christ, which keeps us in a life filled with sin. And a life filled with sin is not just a debauched life, but a very unhappy, unpleasant, unfulfilled life, a life filled of turmoil and distress, a life filled of anxiety, and that's not the life God wants for you. God wants you to experience a holy life. That's why he gave us the Ten Commandments, not to keep us bound in chains, but just the opposite, to give us the freedom to experience life to its fullness without having the worry of getting hurt. That's what the Ten Commandments are for. It's like being on a balcony up on a 10th story building with no rails. If you're on the top of a roof and there are no rails, you do not go close to the edge. On the other hand, as soon as they put the rails on, hey, you go all the right to the edge. You lean over and you look down to see how high you are, to see what's going down on the sidewalk. When you have these guardrails in life, known as the Ten Commandments, the laws of God, our life is expanded without us falling into danger, without getting hurt, without getting sick, without... We have freedom, far more freedom. The Ten Commandments: "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It's number one and the most important. "You shall not make any graven images." Don't make idols. Like that's what they, when God took the Israelites out of Egypt, they all had their idols. There is temples to all of these gods with statues of their gods. And that took place all through the Roman Empire, through every empire in every history of ancient civilization. We see this taking place. "Do not make a graven image," number two. Number three, "Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And yet today, I can't tell you how often I hear young people and old people alike saying, OMG. But they're not saying OMG, they're using the name of the Lord in vain. And what happens when we do that is God stops listening to our prayers. It's like crying wolf. He's going, "This person doesn't really care about me. He doesn't believe me. He just uses my name like it's nothing." It's one of the Ten Commandments. And if you have grandchildren, or if you do, or if your children are using the name of the Lord thy God in vain, remind them that's one of the Ten Commandments that God has told us, do not do that, especially if you want God to hear your prayers. Then we get into the next six commandments are really about our social contract with one another. First, we have a vertical relationship with God, which creates one bar. Then we have the second bar, which creates the cross which is the redemption of mankind, which is how society works as we get from above down, inside out. We have the we first have a relationship with God, and then we're prepared to have a relationship with our family and our friends. So the first one is God deals with family. He says, honor your father and your mother. And from there, I don't know them all in exact order, but thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not kill. Those are the Ten Commandments, not suggestions, commandments. And those Ten Commandments were given to us so that we can experience life to the fullest without the worry and the stress of going too far and hurting ourselves, hurting our families, hurting our neighbors, causing angst and crime and chaos in the world. That's the Ten Commandments. What we find in the woke religion is a religion of chaos. The goals of wokeness is to create chaos. Critical theory is, most people know it as critical race theory. In reality, you can put anything in the middle of that. Critical trans theory. It's critical sexual theory. Critical government theory. It's all about creating chaos. The idea and the goal is to tear everything down. And then from those ashes will grow a new utopian, which again is the scientism that I read about. And this is, all of this is comes under the pantheon of scientism. Again, scientism is a noxious combination of scientism and utopianism, which then leads to eugenics, and it always has. If you look at the history, modern history of the 20th century, what has come out of scientism is eugenics. Doesn't matter if it's from Russia, from China, from Cuba, doesn't matter where it came from. When communism grows out of this critical theory, which is the goal, what grows out will be first and foremost eugenics. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. He hates your sin. He hates my sin. But he will forgive us of our sins as we come and we confess them before him. Oh, Lord, I confess. And we confess our sins before God, and he is just to forgive. And he will embrace you with open arms as he wraps you in his garments. The grace of Jesus Christ. And when we do, we can sing and we can praise God. And we can declare, as Moses and the Israelites did, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Which is a rhetorical question. It's obviously nobody is like you. Who is like you? Majestic in holiness? None of the gods. I have studied them. None of them were holy. Awesome in glory. And if you wanted to look that up in the Old Testament, in the King James, it said, fearful in praises. And finally, working wonders. Who can we pair the other gods to? None of them. Working wonders, and this is the first time in the Bible that the word wonders is used. And when I hear the wonders taking place here, I realize that this is just the beginning. They've only seen the beginning of what God can do. And it culminates, the wonders of God culminate into the great Festival of Pentecost, which actually is next Sunday, is Pentecost Sunday, where the Holy Spirit comes and empowers all of the disciples of Jesus with the ability to perform signs and wonders that all might come and witness and profess that Jesus is Lord. That happens, is recognized next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. And we'll talk about that then. And for this morning, I just want you to recognize that the God of our fathers, Elohim, that you cannot compare any God to him. In the history of the world, nothing compares. And as soon as we take him down, as soon as we create him to be a myth, as soon as we declare he is not real, as soon as we do something like that, what comes up from that is chaos. It comes up a pantheon of different gods, all vying for our souls, for our minds and our hearts, and creating enslavement in all of us. Our God takes us out of slavery, and he cares for us in the wilderness of this life until we come to be with him forever in paradise. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who brings freedom and hope and joy and goodness. That no God can come anywhere close to standing up to you. For you alone are holy. And so we call to you, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. For you are our joy, our peace, and our freedom. Thank you, Lord, for everything. We praise your name always and forever. Amen. If you haven't had a chance, you haven't done it already, get a copy of Donna's book. It's spectacular. It's called Fearless Women, Transform Negative Emotions into Positive Realities. Just go to Amazon and Google, or I should say Amazon, and search Donna Shuler, Fearless Women, and it'll pop right up. And have a great day. God loves you, and so do I. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always and forever. Amen. God's blessing you, everybody. Have a great week. I'll be here again next week. Bye-bye.